With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. It'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Sign up for Stamps.com. Use the promo code REVEAL for this special offer. You'll get a 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in REVEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter REVEAL.
And then fluid started shooting out across the room. The intern was running around, what do I do, what do I do? I point to him and go, get the head of this ICU right now.
Here we go, 3, 2, 1. From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is REVEAL. I'm Al Letson, and chicken has taken over the world. Chicken is no longer just the centerpiece of a special Sunday dinner. It's pretty much taken over the whole week. Americans eat a whopping 85 pounds of chicken per capita every year. It's become the most popular meat in the country, as many of us have begun eating less red meat.
That's a lot of nuggets.
That's REVEAL reporter Catherine Miskowski.
Hi, Al.
Hey. So right now, we are standing in front of a refrigerated case of chicken in our local grocery store.
It's a staggering amount of chicken, I gotta say.
It's a lot of chicken.
Wings, breasts, thighs, party wings.
I know, you can't go wrong with party wings.
You gotta go for the party wings.
So we are here because we wanted to talk about the S word. I feel a little weird saying this in a grocery store, but we want to talk about salmonella. So tell me a little bit about salmonella.
Well, salmonella is this bacteria that can live peacefully in the chicken's gut when the chicken is alive. And it doesn't really usually bother the chicken that much, but it can make us really sick if it's on our meat when we eat it.
How sick?
Well, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just like an upset stomach. But actually, if the infection moves to your bloodstream, it can kill you.
So how prevalent is salmonella in chicken?
The amazing thing is that about 25% of the chicken pieces that you see here are probably infected with salmonella right now.
And that's legal?
Yeah, it's actually legal to sell chicken that's contaminated with salmonella in the U.S. It's kind of amazing.
A couple years back, there was a major outbreak. It was linked to this big California chicken producer, Foster Farms. It went on for over a year, and people from 29 states got sick. The strains of the bacteria were antibiotic resistant.
Fever, nausea, cramps, diarrhea. If you're having that within 3 days of eating chicken, you want to make sure you get seen. If you're very young, very old.
The big surprise, the plants were meeting the federal rules about salmonella at the time of the outbreak. The big producers tend to be pretty good at that, but still hundreds of people got sick. Since then, the company has spent millions to clean up its act. But the outbreak raised a lot of questions about how safe our chicken is.
So since that outbreak, there's been a lot of awareness about what happens with the big producers. But we wanted to find out what's going on within the whole system. So we sent Catherine out on a road trip to see if she could find any salmonella-free chicken.
Yeah, and by looking at every step in the process, we found a gaping hole in our food safety system. Most of us still get our chickens from big poultry companies, but there are other options. If you're hardcore, you can raise them yourself in your backyard. Then there's the locavore movement, buying local chicken from smaller farms. We went to one of them, Gunthorpe Farms in northern Indiana. We met Greg Gunthorpe, a fourth-generation farmer who sells pasture-raised chickens.
They come in as day-olds. And then they spend 3 weeks here in the brooder barn, and then we put them out in the pasture. These will be 1 week tomorrow.
Greg sells his chickens as an alternative to the factory-farmed birds.
There's several things that make our chickens different. Our chickens get to be outside on pasture. We air-chill our chickens. They never get antibiotics. They're processed without chlorine. For the largest part of the year, they're delivered fresh within a couple days of when they're slaughtered.
Inside the barn, Greg shows us the baby chicks, who have already had quite a journey. They started as eggs at a breeder barn. Then they went to a hatchery where they, well, hatched. And as innocent as these chicks look, they may already have picked up salmonella at either place. Greg's first line of defense against salmonella, a vaccine.
We put just a very small amount of water in the bottom of it, and then put the vaccine in it, and you put droplets over them, and then they peck the droplets off from each other.
But that vaccine's not 100% effective, which means they could still get salmonella when they're turned out on the pasture when they're a few weeks old. It's nice for the birds that they get to roam around under a big open sky, but it's also another place where they can pick up the bacteria from wild birds, rodents, or each other. Up to this point, there has been absolutely no government regulation of salmonella in these birds. That's because food safety inspectors can't set foot on Greg's pastures. Here's Dr. Daniel Engeljohn, an official at the Food Safety and Inspection Service of the USDA.
Here in the United States, the authorities that my agency has begins at the slaughterhouse. So our authorities start there. We do identify that there are interventions that establishments can take that do focus on farm controls. So they can build those into their operations, but we don't regulate that.
So on the farm, there's no mandate to try to stamp out salmonella. Anything Greg does to fight it is up to him. But inside the slaughterhouse is a different story.
We're in the kill room.
Greg shows us how live birds are transformed into plucked and eviscerated chickens floating in an antimicrobial wash. It's pretty gory. Here, blood drips on the floor. Over there is a discarded chicken foot.
We'll hang them up on these shackles over here on our kill conveyor. Victor will stun them, and then he'll bleed them, and they'll ride around here. We'll throw them into the scalder here. This machine over here, the plucker, actually takes the feathers off.
Along the way, there are lots of chances for salmonella to pass from one bird to another. It may be on their feathers, skin, or feet, but it can also escape from their guts when they're eviscerated. Greg's daughter, Kara, described to us one of the many ways the workers are trying to keep the bacteria in check as the birds move down the line.
They use a gun to remove the neck, and we used to just remove the head and keep more of the neck on, but we found that that was actually a big determination in how much salmonella was on the bird, depending on how much of the neck you took off.
At the end of the line is a government-employed inspector. This is the first time the feds are checking the birds for salmonella. They didn't do it at the breeder barn, the hatchery, or out on the pasture. They wait till the kill.
USDA is going to stand down there on the end and look at every single bird that we slaughter today. They're going to be looking for two things. They're going to be looking to make sure that there's no systemic infection throughout the bird, so the bird's fit for human consumption. The other thing they're going to look for is that we didn't contaminate the bird.
Today, Greg's plant killed about 1,700 birds. The USDA inspector usually samples just one bird, one out of that 1,700, to test for salmonella. But the day we visited, the inspector didn't even do that. She wouldn't speak to us, but the agency said in an email later that we just happened to visit when they were transitioning from one sampling approach to another. Greg's chicken hasn't been linked to any illnesses from salmonella. But it turns out small and local is not necessarily better when it comes to stamping out the bacteria. Here's Dr. Engeljohn again from USDA.
It isn't true to say that all small manufacturers have poor performance, but overall, our data would suggest that poultry is more likely contaminated with salmonella in our smaller operations than in our larger operations.
One reason is that some very small plants like Greg's purposely don't use certain chemicals like chlorine on the meat to get rid of the bacteria. In fact, for them, it's a selling point. And the birds we saw killed were destined for plates later that week.
We'll start sorting them and cutting them up tonight, and then they'll all be in restaurants by Wednesday or Thursday. We have about 6 or 8 places that we supply. The rest of the places, they'll be served as specials on Friday or Saturday evening.
All right, Catherine, I gotta be honest, this is not looking good for our quest to find a salmonella-free chicken to cook.
You're right. The bottom line when it comes to salmonella in chicken in the U.S. is buyer beware. The official advice for consumers focuses on cooking the raw meat thoroughly and handling it safely. But that's harder than you might think. There's a danger of contaminating the knife, the cutting board, or even the kitchen sink.
Okay, so should I just
opt out of the system, go DIY, build a coop, and start raising my own chickens in my backyard?
We wondered that too. So the next stop on our Salmonella road trip was with a family in Felton, Pennsylvania. They'd raised backyard chickens. That's about as local as you can get.
I guess we don't have to lock the car.
Yeah.
It's easy to picture chickens at Deanna and Dan Gabriel's place.
Good. Beautiful here.
A stream runs through the backyard. The chickens even used to drink out of it. But these days, there are no chickens here. The Gabriels buy their eggs in the grocery store. Deanna showed us the sorry remains of their chicken coop.
It's a mess now and overgrown after 2 years, but they were in that wire kennel kind of thing there. We actually ripped the coops down and burned them, so the fire pile is over there. But you can still see the metal nesting box kind of sitting in the middle there, which was inside the coop.
The chickens were a family project, although this wasn't their 14-year-old son's idea of a good time. He was more into lacrosse and football. Backyard farming, not so much. Here's his dad, Dan.
His taking care of the chickens entailed him flipping up the gate, going back, play his video games, letting them in at night. That's his taking care of chickens.
In July 2013, their son, the Gabriels asked us not to use his name, started having chest pains. And they said he had trouble breathing and developed a 103-degree fever. He was in severe pain. He couldn't even lie down. At the hospital, the doctors suspected cancer. Maybe leukemia, lymphoma. He had a massive growth in his chest.
I don't think the doctors really knew what was going on, but they knew it was getting worse. They were really concerned. So we had, like, the head of the department and a whole bunch of other doctors that kind of came in and had a round table discussion with us. And they were like, you know, we have to do something.
The initial debrief after the surgery with the surgeon, he was real concerned. He confirmed that it looked cancerous. He was starting to build up fluid around the sac around his heart and the sacs around his lungs. So they put a tube in his chest.
But when they pulled the tube out, things got even worse.
And then fluid started shooting out across the room. The intern was running around, what do I do? What do I do? I point to him and go, get the head of this ICU right now.
It wasn't cancer. He had an infection caused by salmonella. And he hadn't even eaten the chicken. He just came into contact with the bacteria. It took their son almost a year to recover.
We took every precaution. We knew the inherent risks of salmonella. And thankfully, we sought medical treatment when we did.
The source of his illness was the chicks that they bought that spring at Tractor Supply, a billion-dollar farming mega chain. It was selling chicks from a hatchery in Ohio, which had been having trouble with salmonella for years.
Almost 100 people sick tonight in 23 states, and the source of the illness is being traced to a hatchery in Mount Healthy.
When the Gabriels bought the chicks in spring of 2013, they had no idea that Mount Healthy hatcheries had been linked in the past 2 years to hundreds of illnesses and two deaths. The Gabriel family eventually reached a settlement with Tractor Supply. No one from the farming megastore would talk to us on tape, but a spokesperson said in an email that they didn't sell chicks from Mount Healthy hatcheries in their stores this year.
I just wanted to check in and see if we might be able to come by and speak with Rob.
Our producer, Jillian Weinberger, tried to get us into Mount Healthy hatcheries to find out what exactly had gone wrong there and what were they doing about it. But owner Rob O'Hara wouldn't talk to us.
No, he's not going to be available, and there's nobody else here that could do it either.
And he knows that we're speaking with someone who claims that his chicks made her son very sick, and we just wanted to give him a chance to respond.
Right, I know, and I told him, but he's not going to be available.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We did get some answers from the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Their investigation found that the source wasn't the Mount Healthy facility in Ohio. That was clean. It came from other companies who supplied eggs and chicks to Mount Healthy. And those suppliers were out of state.
So the Gabriels got the chicks from a store in Pennsylvania who got them from a company in Ohio that was getting the contaminated chicks from their suppliers someplace else?
Right. And Mount Healthy also sells by mail order. So it was turning around and sending the chicks carrying the bacteria all over the country. So the Gabriel's chicks in their backyard were connected to this whole national supply chain.
And it seems like no matter where we get our chicken from, big companies, small farmers, or even backyard chickens, there's still a risk of salmonella. And what you found out is that no matter where you get your chickens, the only place it's regulated is in the slaughterhouse. And even there, it's kind of spotty. So where does that leave us?
The U.S. isn't the only place that has struggled with this problem. There was a big problem with salmonella in chicken in Denmark, where chicken is also popular. Here's a commercial from one of their big chicken producers.
Programmet præsenteres af Danpo. Mad med glæde.
Back in the 80s, Denmark saw a spike in illness from salmonella, but they completely revamped their system to make their chickens almost salmonella-free. They do it by monitoring for the bacteria before the chicks are even hatched, screening even the grandparent flocks. Throughout the chicken's life, the Danes implement strict biosecurity measures to keep the birds from getting infected. Over there, entering a barn full of chicks is almost like getting ready for surgery.
And we unlock the door before, because we want a closed door to the henhouse, because we don't want any visitors just entering the house.
Farmer Leif Barsbala showed us what he has to do when he enters a chicken house.
We have a stop sign on the door that says it's not allowed to enter the door because of salmonella and campylobacter. Now I wash my hands and put some soap on. And we put coveralls on and the boots. Now we can enter the house and we close the door behind us. If we get salmonella in this house, we have to destroy the whole house.
He changes into a different pair of coveralls and boots before he enters each chicken house on the farm. And those boots, actually, are one secret to keeping their birds salmonella-free.
We get a test kit. At the same time, we get new day-old birds. In the test set, there's five pair of elastic socks. We can pull over the boots. We're entering the house. So they stick manure to the socks, and those socks are mailed to the laboratory, and they tested for salmonella.
So Danish farmers are using boots and socks to test the poop they step in?
You got it. Manure-covered socks. Gross and kind of genius, because bacteria on those socks will reveal if the flock is infected. And when salmonella turns up in a Danish chicken flock, that raw meat can't be sold in the supermarket. If it is sold, it has to be cooked before consumers ever get near it.
I mean, that sounds like a good plan. I won't be getting my socks dirty anytime soon. And ultimately, though, what you're telling me is that I should plan my next vacation to Denmark if I want to buy raw chicken that's salmonella-free.
Pretty much. Denmark produces much less chicken than we do, and their chicken is more expensive, so the American chicken industry is not looking to follow their lead anytime soon.
So where does that leave us in our quest to find a salmonella-free chicken to cook for dinner?
Well, things aren't looking great. For chicken pieces like breast, wings, and thighs, there are these new salmonella rules in the works. But the new proposed standard would still allow 15% of chicken parts to be contaminated. And the chicken industry says, overall, they're doing a good job. Here's Dr. Ashley Peterson from the National Chicken Council.
Americans eat about 160 million servings of chicken every day, and almost every one of them is done safely.
Still, about 200,000 Americans get sick from salmonella in poultry each year.
That story was produced by Jillian Weinberger and Catherine Miskowski and edited by Andrew Donahue and Taki Telenidis. Check back with us next Tuesday for another podcast, which explores the history of vomiting gas from World War I.
One of the gases developed around this time was called chloropicrin. It was a tiny molecule, so tiny that it could actually slip through the filter of a gas mask. Once inside, chloropicrin would make soldiers throw up,
which would lead the soldier to rip the mask off and expose him to the other more dangerous gases, such as mustard gas.
And how that gas has become the foundation of the modern strawberry industry. If you have a minute, let us know what you think of the show. Leave us a review on iTunes. It makes a big difference and helps new listeners find us. You can also tweet us at Reveal or share your thoughts on our Facebook page. And remember, we are also on the air. Check with your local public radio station to see what time they're airing us. Our lead sound designer and engineer is my man, Breezus, Jim Briggs. Krista Scharfenberg is our head of studio. Suzanne Reber is our executive editor. And our executive producer is Kevin Sullivan. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.